way of converting her numbers to the numbers that would go in the health tracker.
Oh, is she international?
No, but it comes as a like in the thousands like numbers. So it, like in the neutrophils, it was like 2,996.
Because that's the absolute number of neutrophils. So okay. You're saying it didn't give you the percentages, right? Okay. So then what you're going to have to do is look at the total white blood cell count. White blood cell counts.
Okay.
And then you're going to have to do that as a percentage of that. So if it gives you the total white blood cell count as a 10, but the number of neutrophils is given as 60,000, then you know that 10 is really 100,000. You'll just have to extrapolate that. Based on the units, and you could usually tell by the units.
Okay, so.
Well, no, wait. Because it's a percent, it's a number, right? So you'll have, I don't know what the actual unit is, but the white blood cells are usually reported in numbers that go from like
4.4.
Okay. So she's on a low side of the total. So then you add up, what I would do is add up neutrophils, lymphocytes, basophils, monocytes, and eosinophils. Add up the total of those.
Okay.
That'll give you the total number. And then you compare that. That probably is going to be some multiple of 4.4, right?
Okay.
Whether it's 440, 440,000, whatever. And then you know that what is the neutrophil count as a percentage of the total? What is the lymphocyte as a percentage? Why the lab didn't do that? Crazy making.
Well, it's to make all of us crazy. That's all. that's how I feel about it. All right. Because they did, you know, break everything else down other than just these parts of the white blood cells. So, all right, I'll work on that. Another question is, I'm working with someone that no matter what she eats, she has a lot of pain on her left side, just underneath her ribs. Sounds like pancreas to me, but what else can it be? Because all of her blood tests, supposedly, I haven't gotten her paperwork yet, but all of her blood tests are showing within the limits. I don't know as that's really true until I get the numbers,
right.
You know, and am I able to run them? But she finds that there's more pain when she eats fats. And I would think that that would be on your right side if you're going to have gallbladder, liver, anything like that that's having a problem processing fats. But her pain is still on her left. Could that be spleen?
It could be spleen, it could be stomach, it could be the intestine. So let's just find out to figure out where it might be is the timing of it. So
okay.
If it's almost immediate, it's probably stomach because that's where it lands right away.
Mm-hmm.
It could be pancreas if the pancreas is struggling to secrete the enzymes to break it down. Mm-hmm. That would probably be a little bit longer, maybe an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on what she eats. Okay. It could be, you know, I just thought of this. I don't know if this is true or I've never read this anywhere, but it just came to me. No, that's somatostatin. Is it cholecystokinin? No, somatostatin. What's the other one? There's another hormone that stimulates both the pancreas and but I think that's somatostatin, which causes it to stop. So I think that's probably not true. Never mind. I just had this thought come in my head and I don't think so. So ask that how quickly. Now it could be the transverse colon. It could be that there's something, a blockage there or something. So that would be much later after she ate the meal, right? You would expect it not to be in the transverse colon for, you know, half a day or something after mm-hmm. she eats the meal, right? It could be, yeah, any of those things. It could be that there's some problems with the common bile duct, right? That could be because the duct comes across and then the pancreatic duct, so they kind of meet in the middle. So it depends on how far over it is. If it's far over to the left under the rib or if it's close to the center under the rib. So I would ask those questions about how quickly. And that's one of the most important questions to ask about intestinal gut stuff is not just the location, obviously. Where does it hurt and how long after eating does it hurt and how long does it last? Is it a spasmy kind of hurt versus a just sharp kind of thing or a dull, achy kind of thing? And all of those would give you an idea. Is it a burny or a, you know, an acidy kind of thing? Because that could be the stomach, but it could also be as the stomach contents make their way down into the duodenum. If she's not secreting enough pancreatic bicarbonate or gallbladder bicarbonate, then it won't neutralize that well enough. And then the duodenum doesn't handle acid the way the stomach does. That's what it's supposed to. So when you say that she has some problems with that, it could be, let's see, so trying to figure that one out. Yeah, I mean, that's all I would wonder where it is. Because if she's got some gallstones, let's think about that. Say she has some grit or sludge in there and it's gritty and she secretes the bile after she eats, and maybe it's going kind of midline into the duodenum and it could be hurting there. So that would be like a, maybe a scratchy kind of a pain, or a, could be spasmy maybe, but.
Would that be more toward the center of the left side?
I would say more towards the center of the left side. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But the stomach can be anywhere. I mean, the stomach's going to be like right here.
Right
here.
Well, you know, she's had a incredible, probably 7 or 8 years of a terrible case of candida, and so she's dealt with vaginal yeast for years through all of the birth of all of her children, and she's very, very thin. She's also had infected tonsils for like the last 2 years, and they finally removed them, and she's, you know, trying to start, you know, a good probiotic rotation to start bringing some balance. You know, I'm trying to get her to eat clean, you know, and maybe do blended foods. There's not a lot for her to have to really work on with her digestion, blend everything and try, you know, making soups and things like that. She's young with 3 young kids. And so I think
stress.
Yeah, she's finding, I find her to be under a lot of stress even while she's eating, because she's trying to feed 3 kids and a baby. And
that can be it right away, right? Because what does cortisol do? It shuts the valves down, right? So she could be, it could be food in the stomach that's getting to the pyloric sphincter and it's not able to get through. And so she has that feeling of pain. As that happens, it could be the cramping of that. There's a lot of things. So, you know, the full digestive history, you know, and a pain history, anytime there's pain, and we have that in module 4, whatever it is, 5, wherever we have that whole history thing, but there's a whole set of questions you ask about pain, the onset, the, you know, what aggravates it, what makes it better, how long does it last, does it radiate, how, what's the quality of it, all those things are super important. And then with digestion, you want to know, what other symptoms, does she have diarrhea, does she have constipation, does she have any kind of distension, bloating, gas? Is it the only place she ever gets pain, or does she sometimes get it further down? All those things. But stress is huge. You know, if she's under a lot of stress, even when she's eating, and with 3 little kids, I know the routine. I mostly didn't eat because I'd sit the thing at the table and then I'd be off and I'd be like, why am I so hungry? Why am I so hungry? I just had lunch, and I go back and see my lunch sitting on the table with 2 bites taken out of it. Oh, that's why I'm still hungry. And then, but I didn't want to sit there and like scarf it down while I was running after these kids trying to keep them alive. So
yeah.
It's your job when you have little kids, is just to keep them alive, to face the next day and the next day and the next day till they turn 20 and then they can, you know, keep themselves alive.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I haven't had but one Zoom session with her, and so my questions are starting to, you know, compile for her now.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Our first session with somebody, that's why people, I get a kick out of people. I usually do one session with somebody, give them a plan, and they think that they're good for life. It's like, you know, to really get to know fully, no matter how much you get them to fill out on a piece of paper, even if you can get them to fill out a huge history, there's always lots of things to ask them. And as you get to know them and learn more, they go, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. I had my, you know, I used to be overweight and I had, you know, gastric bypass surgery. That kind of stuff comes out. Like, you know, but I asked her about surgery. Well, I didn't really consider it a surgery. Woo! You know, so now that changes the picture a lot. So ask lots and lots and lots of questions. And again, like you said, you come away from it, you look at your notes, and then you go, oh, I got to ask this and this and this, right? So I almost want to have with people a three-part, and I've done this with high-end when I do, like, when I used to do the diamonds. I haven't taken on diamonds in a few years, but I would have a three-part intake. I'd tell them, okay, I want you to fill this. And I'd give them a little few little things at each of those sessions. Okay, here's what I'm thinking so far. Here's some stuff you know is safe regardless, right? And then you go, okay, this is, we're going to, next time I'm going to explore this other part. And then, and it really helps you to get to know them and them not feeling like overwhelmed with 14 things that you mentioned to them that they have to do, because you know they only paid for three sessions and you have to hurry up and get it all done.
Yeah, I basically started with probiotics and digestive enzymes, and I just said, eat clean, steam your vegetables slightly, and let's just try doing soups and be really, you know, slow on this digestion right now until I can, you know, get another session with you. And so...
Yeah, good. You're on the right track. Yeah, questions are so important. The power of questions is so critical.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, Janine.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay. Well, I'm working on, actually, I'm just reading the digestive hormones. I was just doing that module.
Okay.
So I was trying to think what you were talking about. There's just,
I think
so
it was
much-
somatostatin that I was thinking about, because it stops the secretion of both. I was thinking, oh yeah, there's that one that starts the secretion of both, but it's not. It's somatostatin. It stops it.
Stops everything.
It stops everything, yeah.
But I started thinking, because when you're talking about the coconut, because I'm APOE 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
And no gallbladder. So yeah, but the only time I use like coconut oil is actually brain octane, which is in my coffee, which I have to stop, right?
You can do it in your mushroom tea.
Yeah, I
the brain octane could be fine, because the brain octane is, it's the eight, the short chain caprylic acid. And it's all MCT, short chain, eight carbon caprylic acid. It's not going to, it's not going to require any gallbladder intervention. Because it's completely MCT, whereas coconut is only going to be maybe 20-30, I don't remember the exact amount, some percentage MCT. They're saturated, and saturated fat still requires bile.
Yeah, and we only cook with that once in a while. My daughter uses that now. I've kind of got rid of all the bad oils in the house, so good. Everything got thrown in the trash.
Good, yeah, it's for pause.
Yeah, it did. She brought it home from Costco, and I went, okay, or gave it to the neighbor, whatever you want to do.
Go to people you don't like, not people you like.
Exactly. So when I was studying, it was about the CCK, and it talks about how it stimulates the liver or the gallbladder, right, to release the bile. So if you don't have a gallbladder, is that stimulating the bile from the liver?
Yeah, and that's the problem without a gallbladder. It's not that you don't have bile. First of all, your bile is thin. Mm-hmm. Because it's not concentrated. So the gallbladder will concentrate and store the bile. So just a little goes a long way. And the CCK goes, hey, we need some, shoots it out. It's nice and concentrated, does its job. With the, think about the liver, it's really kind of a slow drip.
So it's thin?
It's thinner. It's thinner. Okay. And the gallbladder concentrates it. So it concentrates and stores, so it's thin, so it's less effective. And some people have problems after gallbladder surgery where it's a dumping kind of syndrome where the liver's just like, you know, secreting. But generally it's because it's not doing enough, because it's just like a slow drip rather than a gush and then stop, gush and then stop. It's just a slow drip. And generally based on the amount of fat that's in the food will determine how much CCK is produced, and then how much bile is produced. So if you eat some salad, not very much CCK, because there's not enough, unless you have a big greasy dressing on it, but you're not going to get much need for that. And so,
okay, because the fat stimulates the CCK.
It stimulates CCK.
Or makes the hormones. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me comprehend this. So the other question, because I can't wrap my head around it, is, okay, it's dripping out of the liver, the thin bile, but when you take ox bile, like it's recommended to use ox bile to supplement, do you Do you agree with that? I mean,
yeah, I think that that's the time when you need it, right? It's something you're not doing. And if you're not digesting your fat well, taking ox bile, but you have to, again, be careful because you got to really dose it properly. Mm-hmm. Your body's brilliant in that it knows how much to take. And you're going, oh, well, do I take a half of one, a whole one, two of them based on the amount of fat in this meal? So you have to kind of play with your body and figure it out. Oh, if I have a small handful of cashews, I need to take one. But if I have this huge fatty meal, I need to take more. And I still recommend don't have huge fatty meals without a gallbladder, right? And it's just common sense. Yeah.
Yeah, because mine are only 125 milligrams. And I thought I had to take them before every meal. So then I just forgot about taking them. So then I was taking them, I believe, with heavy meals where I thought maybe it was
fatty meals. Fatty meals. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what does the ox bile, how does that work? It goes into the...
Well, it just goes down in the duodenum. So it goes through the stomach and into the duodenum and digests it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it actually does its thing, emulsification in the stomach. Mm-hmm. It probably does some of it in there. But I don't know if the pH of the stomach is going to allow it to do that. And that I don't know enough about. Mm-hmm. But I know, you know, so for example... If you take a digestive enzyme, the protease will get activated in the stomach, assuming there's enough stomach acid, but the amylase won't work in the acidity of the stomach. It needs an alkaline. So that's why when you go down into the duodenum, the gallbladder secretes some bicarbonate, the pancreas secretes some bicarbonate, and then it neutralizes the bolus from the stomach from a 2.2 to a, you know, 6 or 7, and then the amylase can work.
And the ox bile, are you supposed to take that before you eat?
I would probably take it towards the middle to the end of the meal.
Middle and end. Okay, because I use digestive enzymes now also with larger meals, or if I just feel that need. I take the digestive enzyme and then, I mean, does it eat up whatever you're...
Well, bile has got amino acids in it, you know, taurine and, you know...
Does it matter if I take them together?
Probably not. Is it? There's no whole protein in bile, as far as I know. Really,
if I take the bile first and then at the very towards the end of the meal, take the digestive enzyme, that would be
better. I don't know. I'd experiment with it and see how you feel better.
How feel?
Yeah.
I don't always remember to take them, but what I was worried about, my brain's clicking now, is that I heard that because having no gallbladder, that it dripping will actually can damage the duodenum or duodenum, however you want to say it. Is that true? Or
it's certainly possible. Yeah.
Because it's constantly dripping, right?
Yeah. And I think that here's the thing. Those are the things you just go, okay, you know, that's where taking good things like slippery elm and mucilaginous herbs to protect the lining is important.
Okay.
But there's certain things you can't really change, and worrying about it is just gives you one more thing to worry about, right?
Yeah, but I know so many people don't have a gallbladder, and with all my health conditions or in my life experience that the more I know about these little detailed things.
Yeah. No, these are good questions. In fact, I'm going to need to look, you got me curious as to whether or not the ox bile can be activated in the stomach, or whether, you know, the pH isn't appropriate or whatever to keep it from happening. So I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
And then,
well, with me having cirrhosis, I'm always doing ultrasounds. I'm always doing colonoscopy.
With the cirrhosis, you may not be making very much. You know, you're probably making less bile than the person who doesn't have cirrhosis, who doesn't have a gallbladder.
But my stools...
Got liver damage.
My stools don't really stick. They're not too fatty. Like, I think I'm digesting my fats pretty well. I can tell when I'm not. I don't have time to do a daily diary of everything I eat.
Yeah.
So if something's bothered me, then I'll start going, okay, what did I eat? What did I do?
Are your stools pale?
No.
Okay, so you're getting enough bile produced.
Yeah, I'll watch color sometimes. You know, when you're drinking green drinks, it changes color. Yeah. But 2 years ago, they started changing, and I was like, uh-oh, you know.
Yeah, if they start to get light, pale,
yeah,
that's diarrhea. That's a an indication of fat malabsorption.
Yeah, for, well, anything for me, I've been taught, it's either, if it's black, I know I'm having internal bleeding because of the portal hypertension. But, you know, everything seems to be flowing good, so.
That's great. Yeah, I would do whatever you can to protect the lining, right? Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And you know, staying away from those things that damage, like gluten.
Right.
Yeah.
But I just, it's like one more supplement. Like, I do have a lot of supplements, but I felt that my body, or over the years, the mold, everything, the stress was just depleted.
Yeah.
So, and I just rotate everything. If I remember, okay, I've got my basics I take, but I thought, do I have to take this? It's like one more thing to remember, you know?
I know. So, I know. I wish I could say that you don't need it, but.
Well, if I don't have animal protein, I probably shouldn't have to worry about it, right?
Say it again.
If I don't eat animal protein or fats,
well, you need fat. So you're going to have to get fat. You know, you're going to have to get your omega-3s in there somehow. And so you can't you don't want to completely avoid fat, then you'll be.
No, I do take a fish oil.
If you don't do the animal proteins, it's going to be easier on your digestion for sure.
Yeah, I do take a fish oil. And I noticed that I stopped taking it to see what happened. And I noticed my feet, the bottom of the feet, the ridges that come. That's one of the things you taught was a sign. And so now I'm taking it and like my feet are getting well again.
Yeah.
But what a simple way to check somebody if they're depleted, you know? I looked at my mom, I'm like, you need fish oil or something.
Or something.
I haven't found the algae oil or tried that yet.
It's a lot more expensive. That's the thing with it. So
yeah. And with everything else I'm doing, I'm okay mentally taking the fish oil.
And so. If you're taking, I think, you know, if you're taking me, just make sure it's a good quality. Make sure it's third party certified.
I get it from Dr. Amen.
I think he's probably pretty safe to get it from.
Yeah, because I use a few of his neurotransmitter things. So because I work on my genetics, I got too much going. Because I'm watching my genetics.
Been dealt a big deck. Because you can handle it.
And started net.
So you can handle it. Well, there's two other people that have questions.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's okay. No, you're welcome.
Okay,
so I don't know whose was first. I have Brandon, and then I have 619. So I'll open Brandon first just because he's closer up. Sorry if I go out of order. But hi, Brandon. I love your picture.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So my dad just had a surgery today. I want to know, do you give like any general recommendations for people?
For healing after surgery?
Like, I don't want to bombard them with like spirulina or chlorella or like frankincense under the tongue or like wheatgrass. Is there like fasting maybe?
Okay. So you're beeping out. So say that again. You don't want to bombard him with the chlorella. I heard that part, but after that, I didn't hear.
Yeah, I just don't want to bombard him like with like detoxification, you know, from the food. I can think that's like too much sometimes.
Yeah, I think that there are some things. You certainly vitamin C, vitamin E over the scar. Arnica is often really good to help speed the healing. Anything that is, Lynn has a whole thing. She could probably send you her protocol that she's got put together for post-surgery. Don't you have a protocol you have put together, a bunch of stuff? Yeah. Yeah. Because the focus is on healing. The focus is on keeping the inflammation not away, because you need the inflammation to do the healing, but you don't want to overtax the body. And if he's been, you know, kind of following a standard lifestyle, he probably overproduces inflammation, so you gotta be careful with that.
Right, yeah, we've been working for like the last few years cleaning up his diet, so he's not coming from like standard American diet here, so I mean that's gonna help a lot already.
Right, yeah, you know, vitamin E around the scar itself, vitamin C, they don't want you to take too much vitamin C too close to before the surgery because it can interfere with the anesthetic, but certainly afterwards. Ask the doctor about things like omega-3s just because, you know, want them, you don't want to run the risk of blood clot, but you also don't want to run the risk of too thin the blood. So being careful about the omega-3s. But I think, you know, once he's 48, 72 hours past, he should be okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah. Lynn, do you have anything more to add? Do you want to just post it, maybe post it in the Facebook group?
It's already in the files of the INE practitioner Facebook group.
Oh, great. Super. Yeah. So you can see all that and just pick and choose what feels right for you. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Wish him speedy recovery. All right. So we have 619 and then Maria has her hand up again too. All right. So who's 619? It's a phone number. 619-300. Oops. Unmute. There we go. Say hi.
Hi, it's Brenda Bernardin in San Diego. How are you?
Hi, Brendan. Brenda. I always want to call you Brendan after
Brendan Bernardin.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi. So I've been learning a lot about cannabis lately, and I'm super intrigued and curious about all the healing homeostasis processes that it does. And I'm just curious what your thoughts are and if you teach about it and
somebody else brought this up. I love the idea, and someone sent me, and we're going to follow up with the name of someone to interview to bring in for an advanced clinical resources. I mean, I've just, you know, learned a little bit. I got that sacred plant, summit, but I haven't really listened to much of it. I know that the CBD oils are used a lot for sleep, for calming people for sleep, for pain. There's a lot of uses for it. Actually, I just ordered some from, Erin Elizabeth was talking about it for skin rejuvenation. So I ordered some of her stuff to try it out. So I do want to learn more, but, who was it on the call that said they had a resource for it?
I think it was, there's a lot of them that put it on the Facebook page.
Okay. So we're going to give that information to Laura on my team, and she will reach out and set up. Cause I'd love to learn more as well.
I'm really curious to juice it. I'm excited being in California that we'll be able to grow the plants because it's not psychoactive.
So can you grow plants that don't have THC in them, or how does that work? I thought they had to extract the CBD.
So when it's in the raw state, it's called THCA, which is the acidic state. It's only when it's heated and carboxylated that it turns into THC, the psychoactive. So when it's cold and raw and using the whole leaf like that, you're getting all the cannabinoids, like 500 of them.
So you can make kale brownies with the whole plant and not have the kids go getting high on their kale, on their hemp brownies.
Well, if it's heated, if it's a raw brownie.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean, a raw brownie, you know, one of those kale, walnut brownies that I usually make. Cool.
Exactly.
Okay.
We need to
learn more. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I just wanted to touch in and connect again and shine and say hi.
Yeah, thank you. It looks like Janine's done some research on it. She's started to take it. She just ordered more THCA and she loves it. So.
Oh, awesome. Great. Super.
Cool. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bonnie Goldstein. There we go. Is that the one that we should get? I haven't had a chance to do anything about it, but okay, great. Thank you. Good. All right. So who's next? I saw Maria's hand up and it went down. I see Brandon's. I didn't lower his yet. Maria, did you have another question? Did anybody else have questions or comments?
No, my hand was still up from before.
Got it.
So I just lowered.
Okay. Lynn's hand is up. Lynn, go ahead.
So one thing, this is a business related question. One thing I've been working on is trying to find places where my ideal client will play. What sandbox are they in? And so I'm assuming this is something other people, that's why I bring it up, because I'm assuming other people have that same question as well, is, you know, we're becoming these brilliant practitioners. Where do you find the people
So here's what you need to do, right? Them. How do you find that out? It's going to be different from person to person. Maria right. might be looking for some, you know, CEO, you know, right. corporate type guys that are going to hang out in certain places. You're looking for more spiritually oriented folks. So I think the first thing you do is you make a list. You actually define your avatar. You make. Yep.
I've done all of that.
Okay. So then you go, okay, where would they, are you your own avatar?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So where do you hang out?
With you.
Where do you hang out online? What Facebook groups do you subscribe to? What
forums
do you subscribe to? What websites do you go to? Yeah, you do. You follow a bunch of them because you repost beautiful stuff. Where are you getting some of that stuff?
I don't know.
Okay, no, you do. So I'm going to stop you there. You do know. You know. So there's some stuff you told me about, something you were doing where they were doing like a horoscope type things. And, you right. know, tell me about different groups that you've been part of. That's where you're well, going, right?
Right. Then maybe it's because I'm on other groups. But so are 2,500 million other health practitioners.
So what?
And so I'm just, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, here's the thing. You don't want to go and join a group and then start advertising there.
Right.
But what you want to do is go join those group and offer great information.
Right.
A link where they could get more, which would be on your website. Oh, I wrote an article about that last week. That exact question.
Yeah,
that
you,
yes,
I've done that.
An article about.
Mm-hmm. I have done that.
Okay. Well, it's persistent. And it's also Facebook ads and targeting them, boosting posts and targeting those people, going to websites. So what websites? So you do some searches, you find some keywords, you go to those websites, you reach out to those folks. You say, hey, I see that you do a lot of webinars. I'd love to do that. I see you do a podcast. You go to the podcast. You see what podcasts you can end up being interviewed on. Right?
Okay.
This is what I did years ago. I was like, okay, who's stuff? So I started calling people and saying, hey, I'd love to be on your podcast. I'd love to be on your radio show. Here's what I have to offer.
Right.
And I would do that. And then at the end of the show, I would offer, well, you can go to my website and download my free ebook to get more. Mm-hmm. And I build my list that way. But going and being a guest blogger, what websites take guest bloggers, right? Like there's Huffington Post and there's, you know, Mind Body Green and all that. But those are great ways to get in front of people. But it's really deciding where they are. In your community in Iowa, they're probably not in a lot of places, right? Whereas if you lived in New York City, there's probably a lot of local support groups you could go and hang out with and speak with and speak in front of them. Given where you live, your avatar doesn't hang out there.
No, I'm like Lindy Martini. I play in strange sandboxes and attract
right.
strange people.
But they're going to attract you. So don't let that there's other practitioners there as well scare you away. Right?
Well, I've been playing in that sandbox of why should I keep doing this? Because there's so many other people that are already doing it. So
I'll go on a summit, right? There's 50 other people that are speaking on that summit, but there's people who hear me and go, wow, I resonate with you. There's somebody else
that
resonate with someone else and they go to them. Right. So it's really a matter of really staying true. And I see you doing that more and more. Like you just speak out about who you are. You let yourself show more and more and then people are going to resonate with it. Yeah. So for everybody, it's going to be a different sandbox.
Right. But the process is the same.
Process is the same. Identify that ideal avatar. Mary, aged, 42. She has 3 kids. She's homeschooling them. She wants more for herself. She's really into, studying astrology and getting spiritually aligned and whatever. You just describe her.
Well, and that particular, the main underlying piece out of it all is exhaustion. You know, Dan is always laughing at my, because I'm like, it's bone sucking exhaustion.
There you go. And people are going to resonate with bone sucking exhaustion, right?
Right.
A very common symptom, but it's a different symptom and a different set of words you describe it for Maria's executive versus your, you know, mom versus someone else who's doing, you know, 37-year-old triathletes. You know what I mean? Versus an entrepreneur, it's all a little different. And when you really understand your audience, you're going to describe the exhaustion in a way that resonates with them. And that's when people are going to gravitate to you.
Right.
Okay.
I actually have a particular meditation that I do where I'm just bringing her in to sit at the table and we talk. So I have a very clear picture of her. But it's like, where is she?
Yeah. So, Think about all those properties. What is she interested in? You know, maybe she's on homeschooling sites looking for the best way to teach her kids. And she happens on this thing. Are you an exhausted homeschooling mom? The kid's sucking you bone sucking dry, exhausted. And he goes, oh, yeah, I have something for you. I just wrote this article, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And well, you can't, you know, when you're just a member of a group, you can't be overtly marketing them.
Right.
But if you do Facebook, and you can start with very inexpensive Facebook ads to test the water. If you do a Facebook ad to them, to that group, then you, they will see that in their feed, a sponsored ad, but there's some pretty amazing sponsored ads that grab people in.
Well, it's a good idea with the podcast, and I don't know why I didn't think of it before, because one of the people that I interviewed in my last series has a podcast.
There you go.
So,
get on a podcast and just go and look. Go to Blog Talk Radio, go to the podcast, the iTunes, and just look for all of them and get the names. There's going to be dozens of them that will have your ideal audience listening.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, Tony. Oops, unmute. There we go. Hey, Tony.
Yeah. Hey, so Lynn, I have a suggestion for you. I have a friend in Maryland, but she does internet radio. I think it's Wise Women, Wise Health Women. She has all these fascinating guests, and she's always wanted me to talk on her roundtable for women. I don't have time to just do that, but that would be a great opportunity for you, and I'm happy to make an introduction.
Nice.
And she has millions of followers because she also does Military Moms Radio, and now she's getting sponsors. That's how big she's getting. So I'm happy to make the introduction. So you just tell me how you want me to introduce you in the email, and I'll be happy to do that.
Open unmute.
Oh, here, let's see. You said it's Wise Health?
Yeah. That's just one of the things that she does. And she likes my energy. So she says, you fit in with anybody. So she'll have this group of four women. We'll talk about any subject at all.
Yeah.
And she just loves the playing. But there's a lot of good information that's shared as a result of that. I think that would be comfortable for you. And an opportunity for you to have some experience speaking with a host who is very gracious, very generous, and always pulls the best out of her guests.
Yeah, that's good. And I would say for everybody, if you're going to be on someone's podcast or a Facebook Live, that's another stream, is find people who have the Facebook pages that you think your people are at and talk about doing Facebook Lives with them. But I would say, before I go on to what I was going to say, interview them on your own Facebook stream, on your own Facebook page. And then they're going to,
interviewed this one gal in my that one week I did.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, do a Facebook Live with folks. You do need to get a streaming thing to do it, but I think that's another way to get in front of them. But what it's going to say is, anytime you're on somebody's Facebook Live or have a guest blog or on a podcast, you always want to make sure you have something that's appealing that they're going to want from you. Like you could, if it's something where you're showing slides, like if it was a webinar and you're showing slides, you know, oh, I can give you a copy of my slides if you want. Just, you know, give me your name and email address here, and I'll also give you a copy of this recipe guide. But always have something that they can go and get from you so that you have their name and email addresses and you can follow up with them. Good idea. Thank you, Tony. And then Isabel, and there she is. Yay, and she's leaving Austin in 2 days, right?
Yep, thereabouts.
It went really fast.
Yeah, I got to get back to my husband. I'm starting to miss him a little bit.
Okay, well, there you go. But he'll be happy to have you back.
He will.
All right. Bye. Isabel.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I just got a quick question. I actually just got this while we're on the phone. My sister just texted me and said that she's feeling numbness in her tongue. So she went to see a neurologist, and he put her on B12.
Okay.
So I'm wondering what is associated with numbness in the tongue.
Well, you think about numbness, peripheral neuropathies related to B12, mm-hmm. So fingers and toes. So it's possible that it would be a nerve damage. Does she have any signs elsewhere? Did they do testing? Did they test her, do a CBC to see if she has megaloblastic anemia? Did they do any other kind of testing?
No, I don't get any testing.
It's an innocuous thing to do, right? I mean, it's better than here's some drugs and here's some, you know, we're going to inject a steroid into your tongue and hope for the best, right? So it could be helpful, but I'd also be looking at, does she have other signs of it? It would be nerve damage, and B12 cause nerve damage, B12 deficiency. Yeah.
Okay. And her doctor put her on, let me see, what's the form, methylcobalamin, effective, is it absorbable?
Methylcobalamin?
Yeah.
Methylcobalamin?
No, it's Meco, M-E-A-N-D-O, balamin. She's in Taiwan, so this is a different.
M-E-C-O?
B-A-L. Yeah, M-E-C-O-B-A-L-A-M-I-N.
Well, cobalamin is B12. M-E might be short for methyl.
Okay.
So maybe it's a name brand, because M-E would be short for methyl.
Okay.
So I'd have her give you the name, the exact name, so you can look it up, like the brand, and have her read it to you. But generally speaking, ME would probably be methyl, I'm guessing.
Okay. Yeah, she did give me a brand, but that shows up in, I Google it, shows up in only, I think, in a different language. And I don't have a lot of readers on that, but, and then it's ME, so just wondering.
I'm typing it in, ME.
Yeah. It is another name for methylcobalamin.
Another name for methyl. There you go.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would ask for those other symptoms. Like, go back to the micronutrients module. Look up the B12.
I just sent her the symptoms, and
okay.
She has other symptoms.
There's also a good book called Could It Be B12?
Okay.
And it's got pages and pages, you know, of other and cases and different things. So I don't have it handy. It's probably buried in my shelf somewhere, but I can look it up there and see if I see anything in there. Might be able to get that on Kindle and download it right away.
Okay. It is related to nerve damage.
Say it again. You're bubbling.
Nerve damage. Yeah.
Nerve damage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you said it's neurological nerve damage. So what is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we're, you know, also expecting her to explore and pay attention to.
Wait, say that again. They're encouraging her to something, pay attention.
Oh, okay. So what other areas should I encourage attention to?
Oh, well, yeah, any of those symptoms on the B12 list, right? So the tingling and numbness in fingers and toes. For some, it might be when they sit for a long period of time, crossed mm-hmm. legs, that they feel it. That might be normal, but it could also be the B12. Sluggishness, low energy. schizophrenia, depression, anxiety, hallucinations. Yeah. There's a lot of really severe symptoms of B12 deficiency.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simple CBC would give her whether there's an issue with MCV being elevated. Homocysteine's another one, and of course the gold standard is MMA, methylmalonic acid.
I would go through the micronutrients module.
Yep.
Okay.
What tons of information.
Yeah, there's tons of information about it. The second presentation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. You're welcome.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. Hard to follow her. I had a hard time following her too. The basic bottom line was B12 deficiency is associated with numbness on the tongue. And we just talked about a bunch of other things. So micronutrient module, which you might not be up to yet, Lynn Rose, I think it's module 5? It's micronutrients? 4? Oh, micronutrients is module 4. It will take you many hours to go through. It's about 25 hours of stuff, but it's a really great module. Really great module. All right. Maria.
Oh, hi. Okay, so I had now a thought on Lynn's conversation. I'm going through the same issue here because I'm start putting my high-end program together. And it's finding, I think that it's quite easy. Well, let me just rephrase this. I've seen it upwork, some people who do some kind of marketing research because, I don't know. I have a hard time imagining, what does that person who makes above $100,000, who is in the 40s and 50s and 60s? I'm not there, so I cannot relate. Okay. What are they doing? I mean, where are they hanging out? All those things, that's easy for me to say to anybody. And I'm like, I can't relate. And if we're going to target the marketing to those people, then those are the things that make sense to know. Mm-hmm. And these can be very expensive marketing research. And I just scrolled at Upwork and, there's some big charges in there. I mean, thousands of dollars.
Okay.
And I think this is hard. I don't know. I don't know where to get that information better, but I feel the pain here because this has been a constant back of my mind. I mean, if I was older, I guess it doesn't matter. If I'm related to somebody close to my age, it's different. But Lynn, I think, is looking probably somebody close to her age. I think probably her clients, but for me, it's a problem.
Right. So let's just stop that. It's not a problem. It's a challenge.
Yes.
It's just a challenge, right? Let's just talk about it in the way that's going to help you solve it because problems tend to bring you down. Challenges tend to bring you up.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So let's just start there. But here's the thing. It's thinking about what are they reading? They may not be hanging out online. Maybe they're reading certain magazines. Maybe they're certain radio stations. I don't know. So you've got to identify that. But I'm going to share with you a resource that I just bought yesterday, and I'm hoping that it's as good as it's supposed to be. But it basically helps you to do that market research on Twitter by identifying people. Now, maybe your people don't hang out on Twitter, but the goddamn president hangs out on Twitter. So, there's people out there, right? But they basically, they do it. You put in searches and it's little bots go out and do the research. And I'll see how it goes. This thing actually came with 30 hours worth of VA assistance to help you get the whole thing set up. So I'll let you know how that goes because that may be a good option for you, for everybody to look into. But I'll let you know how it goes. It's called Social. You may want to look it up. Let me see if I can find it. It's called Social Sonic. Like I said, I just signed up for it yesterday, so I don't have all the details yet about how it works, but I watched the stuff, and he had basically set up this little thing, and then an hour later, and I learned about it through Lisa Sasevich, so it wasn't like I just happened on some joker on the internet who put up paid ad.
I see.
Right. So anyway, I'm looking at that, but it's really a matter of, if you don't already know, like, think about it, like, ask some people you do know, right? You do know some people who were, in your old company, right? Where do you guys hang out? What do you do for recreation? Do you mind? I'm doing a little market research. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions? Then have your list of questions. So what do you do for social? Are there any particular groups that you like on Facebook? Are there particular people you follow on Twitter or Facebook? Are there particular magazines that you read? Right? And you can target those people with Facebook ads, of course, so which is going to cost a little bit of money. But you know, finding out what publications, what online publications, a lot of those folks, they don't get the magazines coming to their house, they're going to the online ones. So are there online publications that you can get yourself in front of, that you can write articles for?
Mm-hmm.
Are there podcasts? You know, I know a lot of them do podcasts because that's easy on the way to work, on the way back from work. What podcasts, just look on, go on iTunes and look to see what podcasts appear to be geared towards those executives, right? If that's who you want to work with.
And well, I mean, you know, people are not going to, I don't know, maybe you can tell me. I mean, what is the average income for people paying, you know, $10,000 program? I'm thinking that it's got to be above $100,000.
For the most part, yes, but I've had people who make much less than that pay that. Because they felt they knew the value. Entrepreneurs, right? Internet marketers. Those are people who are pushing themselves to the limit. They're stressed to the max, and they know the value of getting coaches. So some of the internet marketing online groups, there's a number of those out there.
Yeah.
Right? Ryan Dice's digital marketer Facebook group. Those guys are stressed to the max, and they recognize the value of coaching because that's what they're selling, right? They're teaching people how to sell that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. The idea, I think you gave me an idea though. Asking some of the people who I know in that age bracket and who's got, you know, a high income, I guess, level.
But if you're just looking for the income level that can pay it, you know, you have to make sure that they're the people you want to work with. But I would say, you know, there's a lot of people doing, coaching in other areas other than health, right? That are doing marketing coaching. There's people who sell goddess programs and people pay $25,000. There's people who sell, you know, how to attract your mate programs that are selling them for $10,000.
Okay, I gotta be real here, okay? Because people will pay big bucks for bullshit, but they're not gonna, there are some issues about health because it's such an intimate, right? People pay for executives at companies. I mean, companies are paying big time, big money for coaches and all that. And then we talk about corporate wellness, they stay away from it. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to say that realistically, people put career first, right? And then health second. So our job
sex first.
Huh?
Let's just get real. They put sex first.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm talking about work. Okay. Yes.
Right. But you can market from that point of, you know, looking your best, that sexy look.
Yes.
That person I sent you a link to, I sent you her stuff, Angelique or something. She helps people get gigs at corporate places, but she said corporate wellness is huge. It's big.
Oh, and yeah, no, I know for big companies. Yes, yes, yes. It's finally getting there, but you know, there is a lot more traction. But what I'm saying is, you know, the career always comes first. So people are going to invest in pay in those because they can advance in their career.
Yes.
And our job is to educate them.
It's to educate them. So you're getting it, right? So what you're talking right now is great because it's helping to come up with some language for you to focus around your corporate wellness, being get the edge on the competition,
right?
The sharp, clear brain, have the energy to be able to outlast the competition.
Right.
You know, all of that stuff helps you with your languaging.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if you're posting on Facebook and you say, hey, I'm, you know, doing this Facebook Live about XYZ, and you post it to people's feeds that have corporate people on them, they're going to go, oh, that sounds interesting.
Mm.
Right. So I would say, you know, whatever you believe is going to be so.
Yes.
Right. So if you could believe it's going to be a challenge, and you believe it's a problem, and you believe nobody's going to spend money, they won't. I used to think that until I stopped thinking that. And then people started paying me big bucks to do health coaching.
No, I'm not. Maybe I'm sounding more negative. I'm just trying to find, you know, how do I find the right people faster? Yeah. I guess that's
faster. Did that faster. Handout that woman did, she had a lot of resources in there.
Yeah.
So
for the corporate wellness, right?
Yes. You're talking about. Well, for all the different, you know, and she had the list of topics and all that, and she had ideas for that. So yeah, for the corporate wellness, for sure. And I would also sit with, who is your favorite person to work with? You said earlier, I like working with men rather than women, because they're going to just do it. They're going to suck it up and do it rather than whining and complaining. Great. If that's who you prefer to work with, that's great. Right. But really define it.
Right.
Define John Smith, that perfect client of yours. What does he look like? Where does he live? How does he act? Why do you enjoy him so much?
Yeah. No, I'm actually in the process right now of doing that describing very, you know, in detail that idea. And by the way, you know, there are a lot of women out there who are the same way. Hair ready. For me, it's the client who is ready. I don't care if it's men or women, right? But they are like, okay, it's like, it may be more like a type A person who is going to say, okay, I'm ready for this.
I'm ready to do.
And I'm a go-getter. I'm going to go. So there are plenty of women.
Okay. Go-getter, that's a good word. That's the word you're looking for. Go-getters, probably open-minded, because they're looking for something different, right? Yeah. They're not stuck in the status quo. They're free thinkers. They think for themselves rather than, you know.
And they're not going to wait.
And they don't want to wait. They're patient. They want to get done. Right.
Now, it's a different kind of person to work too, because now they might not be compliant as much, but at least they got the drive to get this problem solved. So then, you know, it's my job, I guess, to kind of help them kind of stay aligned, which I'm not saying that it's an easy job, I guess, you know,
you can relate to them.
Right. But okay. Sounds good. All right. I don't want to take more time. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. It's great. Who else? Anybody else have questions or comments? Oh, I see Drina's got her hands up again. Hi, Drina.
Hi. So I've been texting back and forth with this gal I talked to you about with the pain after eating, and she says it starts 5 minutes into eating.
Okay.
So she's not even through her meal. The pain is more in the center and wraps around to her back.
Okay. So she's getting some referred pain. I would wonder if there's some esophageal, some kind of diaphragmatic tightness that's preventing the food from actually just entering into the stomach. Cause that's pretty quick. I mean, that's just like right away. And then is there burning associated with it? No.
No burning, but she says that this can last for hours, even overnight. At its worst, where she has that pain. Then she begins to get a headache at the bottom of her skull. And nausea begins. And at the worst cases, she turns yellow. To me, that's jaundiced type things, where it might be liver related, but it doesn't sound like the location is particularly liver.
Yeah. Well, is this happening every meal?
Yeah, pretty much.
And you said she's real thin. Has she always been thin, or has she been losing weight?
No, but because she's very limited and because of all this pain, she's really hasn't been able to eat.
Right. And what she's eating. Well, your first thing that you said was liquids. Okay. Yeah. I would get hers to start on a really concentrated, because you want to bring up her nutrition, right? I would get her on some juices or broths or very thin smoothies. Right, because a smoothie could even get trapped. Something that's going to be able to get in and get the nutrition in. Or get her on some liquid minerals.
I have her on liquid.
Finish, right?
I have her on liquid minerals now, along with, rotating three different strains of probiotics that are just individual, you know, like bifidobacterium. And because of the candida, I chose L-reuteri because it's pretty heavy vaginal yeast along with throughout her body. When I did an iridology reading on her, she had yeast in her brain. Mm-hmm. She had in her brain area and lymphatics and her full intestinal tract. I mean, was transverse colon, everything.
Have you thought about implants on the probiotics?
That was my next question is, do you think that maybe encapsulating it and then going ahead and doing a suppository would be a quicker...
Encapsulating it or actually making like coconut butter or cocoa butter suppositories and inserting them up.
Okay.
The other thing I thought about was, is she doing that vaginally? Because she should be inserting probiotics vaginally if she's getting those over and over.
Okay.
Yeah. And there are vaginal. There are some probiotics that are meant for vaginal. You can look that up.
Okay.
The other thing is if it's a contraction, if it's a diaphragmatic contraction, couple of things. One is have her angled, not lying down flat, but sit at an angle after eating and put a hot pack over and gently massage. I would look at hiatal hernia. There'd be very much hiatal hernia going up through the diaphragm. And there are techniques. Go on YouTube. You could even see it or see a chiropractor who does that and can pull that down.
Like visceral. Visceral manipulation.
Right. But I've had people do it themselves and they do it every day, a couple, three times a day and they're able to get it to stay down. I would also, what's the third thing? Look at getting her neck adjusted because C3 is related to the diaphragm. So I don't know if she's had any neck pain or injuries or car accidents or strain from sitting, you know, for too long at a desk or whatever. But that's something I would look at as well.
Especially
when it wraps, as says to me, diaphragm, it's wrapping around.
Mm-hmm. And especially when she's saying the headache's beginning at the bottom of her skull. So that, you know, isn't far off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the things I would try. Lynn Rose wants to know, is there anything specific that she eats at every meal?
Well, right now it's just steamed vegetables and a little bit of salmon. I mean, she's not doing much occasional quinoa, but she notices that it's actually it's harder when she's trying to eat the salmon with all the fats that are in the salmon. So fats seem to be harder on
her. Well, it may or may not be fat. It may be bulk.
Yeah, that's right.
It may not be fat. It may be bulk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not able to get, you know. So I would say blending, everything blended. She could blend the salmon. I mean, if she wanted to have a salmon soup and blend it, but keep it thin. Has she been examined for this?
She's been to 5 naturopaths in the past 3 years and regular medical doctors also, total of 9 doctors, and no one can find anything.
Wow. Yeah, Janine said I had a chiro adjustments and my hiatal hernia went away. And I would look at the chiro adjustments. I think there's some, and also visceral, like myofascial release on the diaphragm where you have, you know, one hand under, one hand over, and you're just following the movement to help that release. Those are the kind of things I would be looking at this point because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like a mechanical
Mm-hmm. Structure
that's not allowing food to go down. But meanwhile, you got to get her nourished. She's gonna get severely malnourished, and then she's not gonna be able to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So getting juices and broths and very thin things in there that are nutrient dense. You gotta get some in there, and the suppositories of the probiotics. Because if she's following capsules, they may or may not be. They may get getting stuck.
No, she's just doing powders from Custom Probiotics, and so I'm not having her encapsulate them at all.
Right. Yeah. Perfect. I'd take them away from meals, though. Does she have any problem when
she drinks? Empty stomach, yeah.
Does she have any problem when she drinks? Like she drinks water or she drinks the probiotic? No, it's just when she eats solid food. Yeah. That's what it sounds like to me, just based on what you're telling me.
Okay.
Yeah, especially 5-minute onset. That's, yeah.
Okay.
Wraps around the back, okay?
All right, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Lynn DeBure Johnson asked about kidney stones. I don't think kidney stones don't present that way. They present more with flank pain or lower back pain, and it's spasmodic and it comes and goes. My board exam practical was a kidney stone, and 75% of my class got it wrong, and they were like, oh, I had to adjust the lumbar spine, and oh, it's sacroiliac this, and I'm like, this person has a kidney stone, don't they? And the guy went, oh, okay. So, no, I asked a bunch of questions. I was asking questions. These are the questions I would ask. And he goes, what are you thinking? Are you thinking? And I said, I'm thinking kidney stone. Goes, okay, good. You passed. Tummy with water and jump off a chair onto a mini tramp. Whoa. Lynn Rose says, fill tummy with water and jump off a chair onto a mini tramp. Have you seen that work? Lynn, is that, you want to open up your line and tell us more about that? That sounds interesting. Tell me more, Lynn.
My brother used to have a lot of people come into his practice that had hiatal hernias. They usually presented like a heart attack, but he would have them drink a lot of water and then jump to free it out from the diaphragm, whether it was trapped below or above.
Interesting.
Which way? I added the mini tramp. He just had him jump off of like a bed or a chair.
So. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. But the YouTube videos actually work. I've referred a number of people to it. And if they don't, then you get a good chiropractor who knows what they're doing and ask if they've had experience with adjusting for hiatal hernia. If they say what? Move on. Yeah. Most that are trained in kinesiology will do that. We'll know that. Okay. Anybody else? Questions, comments? See, some more people came on and they haven't had a chance to say hi to. We haven't talked, I haven't heard from Annette or Eva or Valerie Mills or Karen Osborne. Hey, anybody else? Karen posted a really nice video and I reposted it, or at least I asked my team to repost it. I really liked it. It was a TED talk and it was talking about the dangers of diagnoses and taking on diagnoses. And I really liked her. She was funny and she was entertaining, but she had really a lot of good points. And I would really highly recommend you all listen to it. Thanks for posting that, Karen. Okay. Oh, Susan had her hand up before. Susan?
Oh.
Hey.
I did have my hand up, but my internet connection has been really sucky tonight. So I wasn't sure if I'd be in and out. I had a question regarding wheat zoomer test, and I didn't know if you had an answer, if I just need to contact them directly. How do we go about getting that testing? I have two friends that have just suddenly decided that maybe I need to coach them, which is like, great. I'm not ready for this, but I know I can do it. And
so we're going to get it. I've had these papers and I am very bad when anybody doesn't do things online. It takes me forever to print something out, fill it out with a pen, one of those ancient archaic things, and then actually fold the papers and send them in an envelope with a stamp on it. And it just is so beyond my capacity as a human being to do that. I had to wait for my husband to come back in town, and he just got back in town yesterday. So I am going to give him those papers and ask him to do the archaic work because he doesn't mind doing it. It's kind of like that and pumping gas to drive me nuts. So if it was just a form I could have filled out online and gone like that, we would have had this done a week ago.
Oh, so you're saying that I will be able to order it through?
Yeah, through our account.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Because one of my friend's husband just came back with a diagnosis of some prostate issues. And for him, he's a sad eater, you know, the standard American diet. He just doesn't know. And he's kind of getting open to doing something and recognizing that it's time.
Great.
He needs to get his act together. But the wheat deal is really tricky. And my thought was if I could get them to take the wheat zoomer test, he and his wife, and when you've got, for me, I know, what if I got it, you know, on paper in my face?
Yep.
It just really helps. And then also it helps when you've got peer pressure. His mother, I was at their house the other night, and she comes walking in with, oh my gosh, just junk food, those Hawaiian store-bought rolls. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh,
yep.
No.
Yep. Yeah.
And I just know it will be easier for them if they've got this piece of paper.
That tells them. Yep, totally. Yeah. You know, that's why I personally think testing for gluten sensitivity is a big fat waste of money.
Yeah, well, I agree.
Right? But if it's going to be the motivation for somebody to change, then it's well worth it. I've never tested myself for gluten. I just know it's a problem and I have no intention of ever eating again. Right? But that's exactly right. That's what it's good for. So
for this type of person, and especially if they're having to deal with family members that just don't get it and just like, it's fine. You can have a little bit. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. It's like, no, it won't be.
No, it won't be. I got this test to prove it. I'm on a regime where I'm getting rid of it for X number of days or months or whatever. And we'll see where it goes. Yep. Absolutely. They have the wheat zoomer. They have the
gut zoomer.
Brain zoomer, which is pretty awesome, which shows you
the neural.
And the neuro. Yeah, brain, neuro, what the heck.
And I thought I saw gut zoomer on the website.
The gut zoomer, right. The gut zoomer is actually a stool test where they'll test for stuff.
Okay.
Yep. So I can't wait to do it. I want to do them and get them tested on my, I will get myself tested just so I can read them or convince somebody that needs it to get it tested so I can read them or convince you guys to get them done. And so I can read them that way. I don't want to waste my money testing myself.
Okay. So I'm assuming that when you have that together, then you'll announce it.
We will definitely announce it. And I printed them out last night and then I didn't get a chance because he went to bed before I did. So I printed them out and I have them sitting right here on a piece of, on my desk right in front of me. No, that's my other thing. Oh, it's somewhere around here on my desk. Oh, it was here. It's somewhere here.
Don't worry, she'll find it.
I'll find it. It's here. And I'll give it to him and he'll fill it out and we'll have it done. Charge keeps bugging me too.
Yeah, because I just wasn't sure how to advise them as to where to go about getting his test done. They're just seeing regular MDs and it's like, I don't even know if an MD would.
Well, they don't know what it is and they're skeptical, right? I mean, they've never heard of it and they're skeptical.
Right, exactly.
So yeah. Yeah, we'll get it. We'll help you get it.
Very cool.
Okay.
All righty. Well, that was super good news. Thank you.
Yeah. And we'll just start by putting it on our site on that lab testing page. Do you know about the lab testing page? You may not.
Not really. I haven't really gotten into my NEPT stuff because I'm trying to stay focused on finishing up SMD.
Yes. We give you a link to that in there. When we say here, you can get your stool test done this way or in the grand part, we say you can get your stool test. Just go to this page.
Okay.
You can see it. It's called lab testing. We're going to be making it more prominent. I don't even know if we have it prominent on the NEPT site. I know we have it prominent on the other site, but anyway, we'll make
it. Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right.
Well, then I'll go dig around in there. That sounds like too much fun. Yeah.
If you log into the other site, which is going to be changing in a couple of weeks, but soon, if you log into the VLM side where the grant program is, on the right-hand side, you should see lab testing. You can just click that.
Okay.
You'll see
I'm sure I've seen it and just not paid attention.
Absolutely.
Then
we'll be able to get you your own accounts, but they want us to make sure that you have done them. So we'll have a process where you have to bring them to a call and let me help you analyze them, and then I can say yay or approve. Sure. Okay? Great.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Susan. Okay, anybody else before we go? Everybody good? Everybody feel like you got a lot of good information tonight? Was it worth your while? Yes?
I kind of sucked, really.
You think it sucked? Well,
I'm just kidding.
I would tell you guys something about Maria. I started
some sessions
with Maria. I got to be nicer. She'll beat my butt. But I started doing some personal training sessions with her on Zoom. And the other day, she, after beating me up and getting me, like, doing all this stuff, and she goes, okay, let's see how long you can hold a plank. And I'm like, I got down there, my arms are shaking from all the other 20-pound weights I was doing stuff with. And so I did this, and at 30 seconds, I went down. And she's like, oh, no, we're going to get you up to a minute. How long is it going to take? I said, oh, I'll get there by Christmas. Christmas, we're in Christmas. That's like a month away. No, when? So she got me to agree that I would hold my plank for a minute by next Sunday. So I'm a competitive person, not with other people, but with myself. So later that day, it was later that same day, I said, I wonder how long I could hold it when my arms aren't about to fall off of me from lifting weights. So I got down and I held it and I got it, 1 minute and 4 seconds or something?
Yeah, I think a minute and 2 or 3.
Yeah, a minute and a couple of seconds. I wrote back to her. She goes, yeah, way to go. That's so awesome. So the next day I decided to do it again and I did 2 minutes. The first time I think it was 2 minutes and then 2 minutes and 2 seconds and then I got to 2 minutes and something seconds. So, it just kept getting better. Maybe it was 1 minute and 40 seconds and then I got to 2 minutes or something like that. But now I can hold my plank for 2 minutes after just 3 days.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. So we got to announce them. So I invited her to say, okay, when she gets to 3 minutes, then we're going to start practicing together for 7 minutes. So that's the deal. Might be a while, but that's, and the reason of the 7 minutes is there was a group, I don't know where, some CrossFit, you know, that they did that and the longest hold was 7 minutes. And I said, oh, I wonder how many minutes I can hold. And the last time, which has been a while, I held for 3 minutes after like a workout. And I said, okay, so she's now got the task of holding long after a workout and then we'll start practicing. And then we'll have a video of us like doing this thing, you know, maybe 7 minutes. You guys,
well, you know what really helped? I took my iPad, right? And I laid it down on the floor at an angle like that with the timer. And so when I don't know how long it's been, I'm like, it feels like it's been forever. And I'm like, how long has it been? Just 30 seconds. I'm like, ah! But when I was watching it, I'd look at it and I'd go, oh, okay. And then I'd look over here and I'd look over there and I'd distract myself and I'd look back and I go, oh, I can do 10 more seconds. Oh, I can do 10 more. I can do 10 more. And I got to over 2 minutes. So.
I know, right? Yeah. Here's to you. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's exciting.
Good job. And I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, bright and early. Okay. All right. Bye, everybody.